comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are. Wherever you may happen to be all around this beautiful, beautiful globe we call Earth, thanks for being here. I'm delighted to be here, and I'm delighted you're here. It is talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. That's guarantee. Tell you what, we're going to do something very special on Friday, and if you want to get a clue, what you have to do is go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Scroll down, keep scrolling down, way down, and you'll see a picture. And if you click on that picture, you'll get a clue as to what we're going to be doing on Friday's show. It's we're going to be looking at some material that very, very rarely, if ever, gets talked about. And yet, very important information. Are you in our members area yet? Are you a member? Now look, you really ought to be. And it's only 23 cents a day. $6.95 a month. It's cheaper if you do it quarterly. It's cheaper if you do it annually. Annually is the least expensive way, and it's not expensive to start with. And by the way, since we began doing our monthly subscriptions and then quarterly and annual, we haven't gone up on the prices. One of the few places on the planet that has held the line on prices. 23 cents a day. Now, for 23 cents a day, you get access to our members area, which means you get to watch all of the live shows, and that's every night, Monday through Friday. You also, if you miss a live show, you get to watch the latest show. We have videos in the video galaxy that you can take a look at, and you'll enjoy those. You've got chat, you've got forums. You've got a library of free ebooks that you can download, then they're yours. All kinds of things. Video chat with some of the guests from time to time. And we're adding stuff to it all the time. And in fact, we're about to add something else real soon. Very new. And I think you'll like it. So it's 23 cents a day. If you're not yet a member, be sure that you take care of that. How about take care of it tonight? You can join tonight. All right, now, how about something free? Our free weekly newsletter is called The K-Files, and you need to subscribe to that if you haven't. Be sure you do that. And it takes just a few seconds. Go to my website, click where it says K-Files, and you're good to go. My guest this evening is Marshall Masters. Marshall is very famous world over for his research, writing, lectures, video series on the subject of 2012. Well, Marshall says there's much more, lots more than just knowing about 2012. Marshall is going to join me on the other side of this first break, and we're going to be talking about what more could there be? We'll be back.
Thank you.
Marshall Masters is well known to just about everyone in our audience across the world in 143 countries. You have visited his website. You have seen him on video. You have heard him previously a number of times right here on the Kevin Smith Show, and he's been on a lot of other shows as well. And I am delighted to be able to say to Marshall Masters, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're delighted to have you.
Well, Kevin, it's good to be back. I always enjoy being on your show.
Well, thank you. I was a little bit worried because I went to your media site, and this is before I contacted you, and it says I'm not taking bookings for radio interviews right now because I'm busy working on another project. And I thought, you know, I'm going to ignore that and just contact the guy and see if he'll be on the show. And I appreciate you doing it.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, I did that because I'm working on several projects right now, and I just brought out a 12-part video series, 2012 Wisdom of the Elohim. And when you're into heavy production, it was like 200 minutes of video, and it's all original work, and you just got to keep your focus, which means you're just about intolerable for everyone else.
Well, believe me, I understand what you're talking about. I don't. I'm not as heavy into video production as you are, but it plays a major role in what I have to do every week. And when I'm doing video production, it's tedious, and I mean, it's just not as simple as turning on a camera and shooting a whole movie. It's very tedious, and then the post-production is what is to me tedious. You know, where you have to edit things and add effects and fades and put in your graphics and stuff like that, and it's to me is a very tedious business. Some people thrive on it.
Some people do. I mean, they like it. I mean, for me, it was interesting because it was all, I did all the video work for this project, and I wanted to do nature studies. That is a good way to for the what's happening in the commentary and the channeling segments. But it was as I was going through it, I'm going, oh my gosh! You know, usually you have a shooting ratio of like 3-1, and I didn't have 3-1, but I had everything I needed. It was. And it all fit into place, kind of like I had some help doing it. So it was, it came out pretty neat, but you're right. I mean, you get into post-production and, you know, after a while, there's only so much coffee you can drink, right?
I haven't found that limit yet. I could take coffee intravenously while drinking. In fact, I've got my trusty cup of coffee with me right here, right now. It nurses me through every show.
Good. By the way, just to let you know, in the morning I'll have my first cup of Blue Mountain.
Oh yeah, we talked about that. You'll enjoy that. That's the best coffee on the planet.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Good deal.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people right now that have been drinking. Not such good coffee. I mean, this eruption in Iceland shut down 100,000 flights. And I think that you and I get to have the custom coffee in the morning, but I don't think you get it all that easy in the airport, do you?
Well, I don't. You know, I really don't know. I don't go anywhere much anymore. I trotted the world for a number of years. And a lot of people say, you know, that sounds so exciting. To me, going to the airport in any country and getting on an airplane feels like going to work. It's just, I just don't like traveling. I like, once I get there, I like it. But, you know, going from point A to point B, whether it's by car or airplane or however, I don't enjoy the travel, so I steer clear of airports. I don't go anywhere much, and so I really wouldn't know what the status of the coffee shops would be in the airports right now. But let me ask you something about 2012.
Okay.
Now, you did, you wrote books, you did a video series, you appeared on radio shows all over the world, mine included, and I guess some TV shows. And then you sort of dropped out of the 2012 genre for a while. And maybe it was because you were working on something else, whatever, but you sort of backed out of that genre for a bit. Now you're working on something, and have just completed it, I understand, 2012, and I think it's called Wisdom of the Elohim, is that correct?
Mm-hmm, yeah, that was really, I've been working on some things. First off, I haven't backed off at all on the subject, but I have been backing away from doing media, doing the events, because a couple of different reasons. One is that I was really trying to find the audience that I wanted to focus on. One of the things that, if you see on the site, we at the end of 2009, we posted a letter. And what we're really telling folks is that we as researchers had to say, okay, where can we be effective? And effective is not getting interviews. Effective is not selling books. Effective is not doing all the things you would think in a material sense are effective. For me, the goal has always been, I'm in it for the species, and I'm trying to save as many as I can. And you can only save the ones you can help. And so for me, you know, I've been doing this for a decade, and I really needed to take a sabbatical, a time off to step back from the media side of it while I continued my research and on the projects, and I'm doing a lot of original writing right now. The audience, just so your audience understands, because folks are saying, well, who's interested in the topic? And there's, real briefly, there's just five categories of folks that come to this topic. There's, of course, the elites and the minions, the bad boys on the block, and that's about as obvious as a throwdown gun. But you have the perceptives, which are usually government, paramilitary, military, intelligence. They have that kind of experience background. Always have been my biggest and best audience since I started years ago. Our two best demographic areas are Washington, D.C. and Lawrence Livermore.
Isn't that interesting?
In our areas. And then from there you have the risk takers, and these are people that work as a publisher. I love them the most because they just buy my books like crazy, and a who's list of folks that are buying it would stun you, but I can't say, I'm not going to drop names. And then we have the dreamers, and the dreamers are people who have had dreams, visions, premonitions of what's coming, or this knowledge has been passed down to them multi-generational, from a grandparent or a parent, aunt, uncle, that kind of arrangement. And then there's the larger category, and this is the vast majority. I call it the casino. And the reason why I call it the casino is imagine you're sitting there in Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, and you're going to go from one end to the other. You start off with a bucket of quarters, and you're going to play every machine. And when you do get one that pays, of course, it lights up and makes a lot of pretty noise, but the rest of them just eat the coins. And at the end of the day, you're lucky to have as many quarters in your bucket as you started out with, and that's the general public. And so there's the occasional folks out there. They get it. They get motivated, and they start thinking, preparing, and planning. And in terms of, you know, who's out there saying, well, who can I trust? Who can I, where am I going to get a straight answer? I need a smoking gun. I need whatever this and whatever that. And they're equivocating or quibbling. This is all going to be inside the casino. And these are the folks that the elites and their minions are really working hard to disinform. So they're confused and they can't get a good bead on things. Now, the perceptives, the risk takers, and the dreamers, well, all of this is irrelevant to them because they've already bought into it. They understand this is not a smoking gun issue. If you're waiting for a smoking gun, you're going to find it next to a smoking body, and that'll probably be your own. They understand that. They understand this is a threshold issue. It's, you have to Do your own research, and at some point the information is sufficient, it becomes actionable. And once it becomes actionable, you take action on it. And so for the rest of them, for the Lunchbox Joes, it's a real difficult one. And so it's very rare to see them pop up and go after it and go after it proactively. So I'm focusing on the dreamers now, because I'm already helping the perceptives, and I'm already helping the risk takers, have been for years. It's a loyal part of my audience base. But the dreamer base, this is a whole new base of my audience. And I have been getting letters from these people for years from all around the world telling about their dreams and their visions and what their family told them and how they've been preparing and thinking about it. And these are the people I can help. And so that's what I'm doing right now. And that's the reason why I've kind of, you saw me drift off. I just needed to change gears.
Well, that's understandable. It's a heavy topic anyway, and dealing with it would require backing away from it for a little bit and, you know, getting a little bit of rest for your mind before you re-engage. All right, now you said something that's quite interesting. You said that your best demographic is in D.C. and Lawrence Livermore.
Mm-hmm.
That is very interesting. It means that the people who, on the surface anyway, at least I think our general perception would be that these would be the people that would poo-poo the whole idea, are the ones that seem to be most interested in it as far as your audience.
Oh, always have been. You see, part of it, too, is the approach that we take to it. We take our writing style, the way we go at this, is more in a think tank style, so it's more comfortable language for these audiences. Because I came from a long background working in the computer industry, like 23 years. My client list included AT&T, Oracle, Sun Microsystem, Lockheed Martin. I could just rattle on. And I was a senior writer, technical analyst, and so I had to go in and explain things to people, how their systems were actually functioning so that they could train other folks. And I just really carried that philosophy into doing this, and so that's the reason why these audiences have always liked following us. And, you know, what a lot of folks have to understand is that, you know, in my breadth of time, keep in mind, I started researching Planet X for the very first time in 2001, wrote my first article in January 2002, and I've seen all the trends. I've seen things go up and go down, you know, back in 2003 when there was the false panic with Hazelwood in his book Blindsided. We actually came out opposed to that with Zachariah Sitchin in an exclusive interview. We didn't see things happening then. However, things are happening now. But overall, as we've gone through it, we've always been trying to, whatever we do, bring something useful, as opposed to a lot of the stuff that's out there now. People think that there's just a bunch of nutters and fruitcakes, because that's what they're being led to believe. These nutters and fruitcakes are really something that didn't pop up until the last 3 or 4 years, most particularly in the last couple of years, and a lot of this is just simply well-organized, highly funded disinformation that is there strictly for the purpose of creating doubt and uncertainty in people's minds. And, you know, there's nothing I can do about that. I fought it. I don't fight it anymore. I follow it. It's more useful to follow it, because when I see them attacking somebody, I mean, they've got resources that I could only, in my wildest dreams, hope to have. So when I see the disinfos going after somebody, then I know that there's going to be some information there that I want to follow up on. On the other hand, if they're going to send you down a rabbit hole, that's what they're going to do. They're going to go in attack mode and go kill a messenger, or they're just going to send everybody stampeding in the wrong direction. That's useful, too, when they send you stampeding in the wrong direction, because you monitor it with trends. Like, for example, I'm sure you've had other guests on the show talking about these photos of Nibiru, cell phone photos near the sun.
Yeah.
All right. And everybody was, just going nuts on that. And that is pure disinformation. There's a few people in there that are genuine, but 90% of all of that was generated. Actually, people don't know it, but most of the disinformation comes out of London, England, because it's at the discretion of the what's called the Crown. And these are the wealthy elites that really hold the strings on things. And so their disinformation operatives are based out of London. And so when we trace this stuff back, it goes back there. Obviously, they want to keep folks in the dark. You know, if you go look at the movie 2012, the first time you see it, I just was turned off by it for the first time because it's Hollywood science, which means it's got to get you to where you can escape reality. But once you've done the eye candy and the escape from reality, and you go to see the movie a second time, I mean, the plot is such a hack plot that, you know, you can't even get ingrained in the plot. But the message from the director, Emmerich, is very clear. He's telling you exactly what is happening, and he's telling you what's happening right now, that the elites are... they're getting themselves squared away. They're deciding how they want to handle this thing. And if you're not inside their plans, then you're fodder. And they don't want you to know anything until you're dying. And then they don't even want you to know why you're dying. You know, look at the movie, and the movie is Danny Glover plays a black president who at the final minute after his daughter is safely on Air Force One decides to go public and makes a fool of himself. But short-lived. I found that's interesting because Danny Glover is playing a black president in 2012, and in 1998 we had Deep Impact again with a black president, and now we have a black president. You know, kind of interesting as a coincidence. But if you look at it, he's just telling you, hey, we're on our own. And that's what people really need to understand, is that we're on our own.
All right. We have to step away in just a couple of seconds here for a break. We're going to be gone for a minute or two, and we've got some messages for you, and then we'll be back right after this more with Marshall Masters, so don't go away. Welcome back. My guest is Marshall Masters, and Marshall, we were talking about 2012, the movie, and you were describing it being Hollywood science, and but the underlying message is reality, and that is the elite have put it together for themselves, and the rest of us are fodder.
Bingo. I mean, there's just no, it's really kind of an odd thing. And I think there's one thing about being in this business, two words always keep popping up in your head time and time again. There are called cognitive dissonance. Wonderful way we say, don't confuse me with facts. I've already made up my mind. And people will, if you ask folks, do you trust the government implicitly? Without reservation, to be honest with you about anything and everything. And if anyone says yes, we're all going to laugh at them hysterically, right?
Right.
But yeah, you talk about 2012, and what do people do? They trust the government implicitly to tell them the truth.
Why do you think that 2012 is going to be a year of cataclysm and disaster for us?
Well, 2012 is, I view 2012 more as what you could call a year of atonement. It's a time when we realize the other shoe's going to fall. We've always been of the position that we believe that 2013 You know, if this is a concert, 2012 is the warm-up band. The headline act shows up in 2013. And the things that we've been saying that, you know, to look at what's happening are happening. You know, for example, in our book Planet X Forecast 2012 Survival Guide, and we said back in 2007 when we brought out the book that there will be the first economic contractions, and that will be happening after oil peaks over $100 a barrel and stays there, which it did, and then sure enough, we imploded. And will it happen again? Yes, it's going to happen again. If you look at the economy is like a, you know, an aircraft carrier. It's taken some hits. It's listing. It doesn't have full speed. You know, the fires are pretty much out. They're heading for port, and that's when the next storm or attack happens. And then your defenses are weakened. And that's what people don't seem to grasp onto, is the vulnerability. Our ecosystems are have been severely degraded, and so they do not have the elasticity. A good example of that was Katrina. The reason why New Orleans took such a horrible beating was their wetlands had been pretty much wiped out over the years. And the wetlands are an important way to not only keep the water of the world clean, but is to provide a break to keep a hurricane from really taking an area out. So, you know, folks don't see this. We just keep going on, because as long as we can get in the SUV and get gas to go to the store and the shelves are full, then everything's fine. What's the problem? Shut up. You know? The problem is it's pretty thin when we're going to the store. Thin supply lines, and things can snap pretty fast. So, but in the way it goes now, people just don't want to see that. And that's just simply the way it is. However, that's not everybody. We have an awful lot of people that are involved in working with us. We have a Planet X Town Hall. It's just planetxtownhall.com. It's a message board for people who get it and want to get through it. And we have a very, very serious community there. If you're at my Yowza site, YOWUSA.com, just click on the message board link at the top of the page. It'll take you there. And, you know, we're just quietly working with folks that get it and want to get through it. That's really been a big emphasis. And you might have seen that there's other Planet X researchers that kind of, you know, they've moved away and they're doing other things. It's not that they're losing interest. I see a lot of them out there. I know them over the years. And what they're doing is they're just getting ready. They're relocating their families. They're taking it seriously. And so they just don't have as much time for everybody else. It's a, Kevin, it's a global cataclysm is about a lot of people dying. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. And the ones that do the most of the dying are the people that are uninformed. Either they're intentionally uninformed, which means they're stupid, or they're unintentionally informed, which means they're unfortunate. Either way, doesn't make any difference.
There's one part of this
event and what follows afterwards.
One part of this that I really don't get. Mm-hmm. And I've really thought about this a lot. I saw the movie 2012, and I have to admit, I saw it once. I was not impressed. I had to force myself to get from the beginning of it to the end of it, just to be able to say, okay, I watched it. But here's a part I don't get. These global elite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, let's say that they come up with a plan that does effectively save their lives through the cataclysm.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that some two-thirds of the Earth's population is wiped out. When these people get out of their cubbyholes, these elite, when they get out of whatever devices they have that they have built to keep them safe, they're coming into a world where the population still outnumbers them and are probably going to be excessively pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they think they're going to gain?
They've already taken care of that, man. You know, these folks have had, if you think the elites have been preparing for the last decade or two, try the last few hundred years. This is all ancient knowledge. I mean, you know, in the Colburn Bible we publish, this knowledge has been known, and it's the more you dig, the more you find. It's and Planet X, it depends on whether you call it Nibiru or Nabiru, as it's in the Aramaic, or you want to call it Herkobolis, which some say was the original Atlantis term for it, Frightener, Destroyer, the Red Star, the Dark Star. Gosh, there's so many different names for it because there's so much folklore out there. And the more we did the folklore research, the ancient history research, is like the deluge story of Noah and the flood. And you start finding, you know, everywhere you go on every continent, there's hundreds of deluge stories, and they're all different characters, different names, slightly different circumstances, always same story. There's an arc and whatnot. So there's all of this history. Now, they're getting in place. First thing you have to understand is everything always comes down to meat, bread, and potatoes. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And agriculture, it's going to be absolutely imperative to restart agriculture once the dust settles down. Now, you take, for example, Yellowstone. It pops. That's it. The Midwest is the breadbasket of the world, is toast. The big quake hits and part of California goes into the sea. Again, you know, half of the fruits and vegetables in the country are grown in the Central Valley. It becomes another inland sea. Now, if you want to buy heritage seeds out of Canada, I got news for you. You can't. You can buy Canadian drugs, prescription drugs, but you can't buy heritage seeds anymore. Our government has blocked that ability for those companies to do that. And what you have to understand is that all of this is in power structure. And the key player in this is the actual Supreme Court of the United States. The Supreme Court, first off, said corporations are human beings. They live a lot longer, and they get a lot richer, but they're just like human beings. Then it said corporations can take your property if they just want to outbid what you're paying on taxes. But the one thing that they did, most important thing that your listeners have to understand out there, was that a former attorney for Monsanto, and these are the biggest guys, the biggest players right now, them and Cargill and the others, in genetically modified seeds, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're the big GM players. Well, a Monsanto lawyer, who is now a Supreme Court justice, in a 5-4 decision, they gave corporations the right to patent life. Now, what did they do? They immediately went into the USDA seed banks that have seeds that go back to when the country first took its first breath. And this has always been a legacy of love handed down from farmers from the past to us. And they just snatched up samples of these seeds, found something unique, and patented all these seeds. Now, if you go to Svalbard, the seed vault in Svalbard, are there any genetically modified seeds? Hell no. They've got all the original stuff, okay? It's like stem cell research, okay? They got the embryo cells up there. After this disaster, who is going to be sitting on the seeds? The elites. And that is going to be their base of power. It's real simple. You want seeds, you play ball. You want to starve, we don't care. So they've already got that worked out. They're already ahead of the game that way. And gosh knows however many other ways that they're doing it. Look at they're going around the world right now and they're buying up freshwater resources. Yeah, there's a few countries where the people get up and say, heck no, get out of here. We don't want privatization of our water supplies because you raise our rates to, well, you know, we can't even afford to drink water anymore. And so what they want to do, They want to get the freshwater resources. They own it. They control it. They can put their gun boys on it. They've got the seeds in Svalbard. The Supreme Court gave them the right to genetically modify life. I think it's a setup. It is a sweet setup that they have actually organized this thing, and they'll be sitting in the catbird seat. At least that's the way they see it. As far as I'm concerned, this is an event where, just like in war, all the best laid plans simply come to a screeching halt once the boots hit the ground and the first shots are fired. And so I don't see them coming out the way they expect to come out, but right now they're all set up pretty.
Well, there obviously has to be a way to defeat that. There has to be a way around that, or nobody could survive.
You can't. First off, you can't defeat it. The second thing I'm going to tell you is confrontation is not what you do. If you're going to survive this thing, confrontation is not what you do. Because as much of the plans, this is going to be an event. Because what we're seeing right now, and the book I'm working on right now is called Crossing the Cusp. And it's one of the reasons why I'm laying low, because I'm working on this thing.
Okay, tell you what, before you get into that, we have a break that's going to take over here in just a few seconds, and I want to hear all of that in one piece. So let's hold off on that till we get back from break, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Folks, we'll be back in just 2 or 3 minutes here, and we'll be talking more with Marshall Masters. Important information: if you think that 2012 is going to be a catastrophe, or if you don't, you need to hear this information. Because even if you don't think it's going to be, it could be. We'll be back. Welcome back. My guest is Marshall Masters. We're talking about 2012. Marshall, you were saying confrontation is not the way to go. And then I ask you to wait till after this break to give us the lowdown on what is the way to go.
The way to go is that, first off, in a situation of confrontation, and people want to do that, they want to rise up, they want to fight, they want to... First, you have to understand, in the circumstances you're going to have, it's not like John Wayne gets grazed with a bullet, you know, in the old westerns. Because let's face it, in those days, the bullets were a little, they used black powder, they moved a little slower, but people also had much better immune systems than we do today. And without antibiotics, without all the wonder drugs, without all of the hospitals, with all of the basic resources, we just take for granted. We have a problem, that's it. You know, 9/11 shows up and the guys know what they're doing and they bundle us off. It won't be that way. If you get a scratch and you're dead, something as simple as that. So, you know, you have to look at animals in the wild. If they feel that they're going to get injured, they'll pass on an opportunity and go find something where they know that they can get a clean kill without getting injured, because they know the consequences of an injury. So that's the first reason why you don't want to have any confrontations, which means if you're in major metropolitan areas, that's where you're going to have the density. You know, one of the moderators that's on our Planet X town hall, and we now have a large group of 10 moderators, and they really, in our group, their principal job is actually to start dialogues, get people talking about certain things. And this one gentleman happens to be a retired chief of police, fully trained with FEMA, fully trained with Homeland Security, understands all of it, and he's very disturbed by what he sees. They have all the plans for building the camps, and the first camps that they will build will be for the people in law enforcement. Now, it's real simple. You tell a policeman, particularly a young guy, is going to be less likely to challenge this stuff. The older guys remember what the rule of law was really like. younger guys, as long as they're told that that's the way it is, then they roll with it. But there you are. They say, hey, we've got this little hamlet, you know, we got this little village over here, and these people are really getting to be bad news. We got to get them out of there, and if they resist, shoot them. Otherwise, pack them off in a cattle car. And if you don't want to do it, well, then your family, who has housing on the base and medical and they have meals, they're not going to have that anymore. You know, that it reminds me of that great line from Blade Runner. Your cop or your little people. And that's really what it's going to be. And so the guys that are going to be the nasties, really, will be the Blackwaters. I mean, we've been training these huge mercenary forces that are now overseas in Afghanistan and Iraq. And, you know, it's interesting, if you people don't connect the dots, but go back through what Obama is saying, and he's saying with Afghanistan and Iraq, all of the troops are going to be out of theater by about the same time in late summer of 2011. Okay?
Wait a minute. Say that again.
Go check your press releases.
Mm-hmm.
We will be out of theater. Maybe there's a small residual force left over, but the majority of the troops that are there now are going to be out by around July or August of 2011, both in Afghanistan and Iraq. All right?
Yeah.
Now, we have them coming back towards the summer of 2011. Then let's take a look at the health care initiative, this health care, the Obamacare. And it's 2,700 pages because that's what $86 million worth of lobbying buys you. But the bottom line with it is that the service side of the bill is after 2012. The revenue side is on the front end of the bill. You look at the legislation that's supposed to be major legislation right now. And probably be the same thing if they pass cap and trade. It's going to be revenue between now and 2012, and the service side of it, the benefit side for Joe Q Public, so to speak, comes long after 2012, 2014, you know, and so on. Well, the thing here is that all of this legislation really is doing right now is it throws a few benefits out there. I mean, it helps the health care reform, helps a few kids, but mostly just helps people already have something, doesn't help anyone that doesn't have something. They're going to be filing for bankruptcy, as they always were, and about 2 million families will take bankruptcy and lose their homes, you know, because of medical crisis issues, even with Obamacare being passed between now and 2014. But that's all beside the point. You see, that's all the distraction. What really matters is that they've created a huge cash funnel. What the elites are doing right now in order to fund all of their projects is that they are sucking the blood out of the middle class like there is no tomorrow. Where are the mortgage paying jobs? You know, they're often, you know, going off into China. All of it right now is just pulling. Life is getting harder for the middle class than it ever has. The money doesn't go as far. It's just a huge wealth drain. And that's what I see going on. So,
right. So let me just make sure I understand what you're saying. What you're saying is that all this legislation is a smokescreen. It could have been health care. They could have picked some other issue. But the deal is it's a smokescreen to draw all the money in before 2012, and then no benefits till after 2012.
What does the legislation do? One, the nuts and bolts haven't changed. There's no reform of the insurance industry that's anything substantive, not until 2014. And by the way, that gives the Supreme Court plenty of time between to come down with a ruling that blows it all out of the water anyway. And but in the meantime, the insurance companies, pharma, all of these guys, they've got a green light to absolutely bleed everyone dry between now and 2012. And people can take that saying, well, ha 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 ha, after 2012, it's our turn. Come 2014, there's a new sheriff in town. But in the meantime, they've got all the political they cover that they want to go out and do horrendous things. You know, on the eve of the bill passing, Anthem in California jacks up rates 37%. And other states, they do it. And you know, none of this is kicked back down the ladder at all. They got to keep those gains.
All right, but so you see a connection.
It's just a setup to milk the public.
So you see a connection between the health care legislation, the way it was constructed, a connection between that and 2012.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Now, I understand that connection. Now, here's the question.
Financial siphon.
On the other side of 2012, there will be some survivors. If all the cataclysms happen that you think are going to happen, you also say there are going to be survivors. And then what will they do? Just say, well, we intended to provide this, but we can't because of the cataclysms. Is that the plan?
They could say that, but on the other hand, it gives them a perfect situation. What they've done now is they've created an expectation that the government's going to have a hand in health care, all right? And now, I'm not going to criticize that. It might chap a few of your listeners out there, but I'm a single-payer guy myself, all right? Because I just don't think that you should profit from somebody being sick. I think it's sad that when some people have to die so that some executive can get multi-billion-dollar bonuses and fly in a Learjet.
Well, I do too, but let's stay focused on 2012.
So, you know, but this is just, it was all, what it did was, this legislation just was a heck of a sweet opportunity for the elites to just come in and just snag a fortune. And a lot of folks, there's this perception that the elites have got this master strategy plan and everything is going click, clock, click, clock, click, clock, click. No, it doesn't work that way. It's always, you know, it's always hurting cats.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It may be of some interest. We're still broadcasting on television, but it may be of some interest to you, Marshall, to know that our internet connection, main internet connection, has been disconnected. Well, of course, that means as well, and I didn't think about it, that means as well that we lost our connection to Marshall. So as we continue, we'll reestablish connection as soon as we can. But what this means, of course, is that we must have said some things that somebody didn't like. Somebody decided that the connection had to be cut. Somebody decided that Marshall, I guess, was getting way too close to something they didn't want said. And so they decided that they would close the connection. Now, I'm not real sure. Kind of interesting. Can you hear that in the background? Listen. Now, what that is not in this studio. Do you hear that noise in the background? Let me do it again. Oh, now that I mention it, it's gone. Yeah, well, let me say to those who are in charge of having caused this disruption, I know you're listening because I just heard you in the background. You're not very professional. How about that? We just heard your dial tone back there. Is that cool or what? Okay. Well, anyway, let me say this to those who have caused this disconnection. What you did is you put a gigantic highlighter above what Marshall just said. And people that had their doubts as to whether he was on track or not now know he was on track. Okay, so you're not very smart to have done this. You're not very smart at all. Furthermore, you're enemies of freedom. And that means that you are enemies of the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, every man and woman in uniform, whether it's police uniform or military uniform, has taken an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. You are a domestic enemy of the Constitution. Sooner or later, you will be routed out, and sooner or later, you will be arrested, and you will pay the price for being a traitor to the Constitution. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, as we continue with without the ability to reestablish contact with Marshall, well, let me see if we can. We'll give it a try. And there we go. Let's see what we get there. I don't think that's going to be complete. Let's try it again. As we try to reestablish contact, your little thing you did to cut us off is certainly something that has verified in the minds of people all around this planet that you don't want freedom, that you do not want freedom of speech, and that you, in fact, are an enemy of freedom of speech. Well, it looks to me as if we're not going to be able to make that contact with Marshall. It appears to me that we have been disconnected from the airwaves and from the internet. My apologies to our audience, my apologies to our listeners, but please take a big highlighter, a big yellow highlighter, put it over everything Marshall just said. If you had any doubts that Marshall was on track, now you've got to say he must have been right on target because they cut him off. And not only did they cut Marshall off, what they did is they cut us off, making it impossible for this, what you're hearing right now is not getting out on the internet. And, you know, that's a shame. That is a huge shame. Now, I'm going to have to go back and reevaluate everything that I had thought about all of this. I had not made a connection at all in my mind between this health care legislation and 2012. I obviously I knew that you don't have you pay for a bunch of years and you don't have the benefits, and then after 2012 is when the benefits began to kick in. I knew about that. But I had not made a connection in my mind that this is global elite and that it's their plan to suck all of the money up before 2012. And then after 2012, they don't need to pay it back. They don't need to provide the benefits because there will have been all these calamities and everything will be in disarray. And they can simply say, well, we're just not going to be able to do what we'd planned. We have to pick up and go a different direction here. I had not made that connection. And even as Marshall was talking about it, I had in my mind, I had some questions about whether, you know, yeah, I can see how there could be this connection, but, you know, I'm not sure. But when this happened, when it happened, when we were disconnected, right after him saying all of that, when that happened, all the lights went on, the bells and whistles went off, the sirens started, and now I know. And again, to those who are listening in illegally, you guys are really stupid. I mean, you really are stupid. What morons. When you do something like that, you have drawn attention to the fact that he told the truth. But we thank you for it. It's you think it's frustrating for us. You think that, boy, we really fixed that Kevin Smith show. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Believe me, what you just did is set your own rear on fire. Because this will go around the world. You are enemies of freedom. That makes you enemies of the people. And there's more people than there are you. Sooner or later, you will pay the price for that. Sooner or later, you will pay the price for serving your masters who are enemies of freedom, enemies of the Constitution. Now, you may think you won't. And in fact, you may think, well, yeah, we may pay the price, but we're going to get you first, Smith. Well, you can. And thereby prove to the whole world that everything that was said here was true. And, you know, the idea that we're going to get you, Smith, hey, that doesn't scare me. But it will do great, huge damage to your cause. Of course, I know you're not smart enough to see that far ahead. You're not smart enough to figure that out. You're not smart enough to go get a real job in the real world. You have to work in the shadows and work for people that are quite definitely enemies of the United States of America. Even if your check says that it's from the federal government, even if you're getting a check, I don't know that you are, but even if you are getting a check from the federal government, you're working for someone who is an enemy of the United States of America. By doing what you're doing, you are enemies of the United States. And sooner or later, maybe not my lifetime, mine may be very short indeed, but sooner or later, you will pay the price. There will be a house cleaning. Drano will be poured down the drains, and all the crap, like you, is going to be burned out sooner or later. So my message to you would be that, you know, the smart thing for you guys to do is come on back to being Americans. Come on back to being pro-Constitution. If you are, then you are for freedom of speech, and you are for the Constitution. All right, let's see what we've got happening here, and who have I on the line? Hello? Well, that didn't work. Pardon me. Okay, it now appears that my tirade has assisted us in getting our internet connection back up. So let's try it again and see if we can get Mr. Masters back with us. And that's not going to work, so let's try this. And we'll see if we can get him back on the line with us here. That's not going to work. Let's try this line. And folks, just bear with me. We're going to get there. All right, we'll see what we've got. Perhaps we can get him back with us. But, you know, by cutting the internet service as they did, then, see, it's not going to do it. Well, let's try this other line. All right, we'll just try every phone system in the house till we reestablish contact with him.
Hello?
Marshall Masters.
Hey, what happened there, good buddy?
Well, you got too close to some things that the morons that sit in the shadows didn't want you to say, and they took our entire internet system down.
Oh, Lord.
But that's okay. What was very interesting, Marshall, you weren't there. We couldn't hear you, and I couldn't call out. But I turned the volume up so the audience could hear it. You could hear someone moving around in the background. The phone tapper was stupid, left his line open, and we could hear whoever it was that had the phone tap, we could hear him moving around.
Yeah.
And but these morons are enemies of freedom. They're enemies of the Constitution. And, you know, sooner or later, people are going to have enough of this. And there's more people than there are these morons. And sooner or later, there's going to be a house cleaning, and these people are going to get their due.
Well, I mean, eventually there is going to be a Nuremberg.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there are crimes against humanity, and whoever was interfering with your show, I mean, you know, for those of us who have been in the business, we know when they're doing it. They can come in. To give your audience an idea, everyone thinks about you're hacking a site. Well, there's when you're doing that, you're coming in from the outside of the fort, so you're having to run the gambit, you cross the moat, and so forth. These guys don't have to do that. They have access to the inside of the data centers. There's no security issues for them. I mean, I worked on security for the internet with McAfee and other companies. And when I had the computer business with Hewlett-Packard, and I understand all of everything that happens basically on the other side of your cable modem.
Mm-hmm.
And their access, they come right in to the service centers. A lot of folks don't understand is that service centers are required to have what's called sniffers. And the sniffers are operated by the government. That's how they actually go through, and they're tracking everybody's dialogues, their conversations. And law enforcement uses them. But the guys that are doing this stuff can get access to that as well, and that's what they use it for. And they'll come in through the back door, sometimes they're elegant in the way they interfere with your sites, very surgical. They'll go in, take out some specific files, break links, that kind of stuff, general mischief. But other times they can just drop you down on your knees with something, and that's just, you know, that's the way the game's played. So, yeah.
But you know what happens? And
this is the life we chose.
Yeah, well, what happens is when these idiots do this, these enemies of freedom, when they do this, it's just like they took a big, giant yellow highlighter and put it over everything that you've just been saying.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't like what you've been saying. You're getting too close to the truth for them. And so they do this because they think that's going to help them. Well, it would, except people like me are going to point out, folks, notice this. Notice what Marshall just said that they didn't want you to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Remember it, mm-hmm. And even if you had questions in your mind, and you were saying, well, I don't know about all this, now you know. Now you know. These idiots painted it for you and said, pay attention to this. That wasn't their intention, but that's what they got.
It's what they do. But, you know, what I want your listeners to understand is that you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, when I look at all this thing, it's like reading a Louis L'Amour Western. And they're fun to read. Great distraction. The bad guys always wear the black hats. The good guys always wear the white hats. And at the end, they always kiss their horse and ride off into the sunset. And the thing is that you see the black hats, and those are the guys that just dropped your show on its knees. But the guys with the white hats, they're the ones that actually a lot of the times inspire me. These are people in government. They really do give a damn. They got into government to be into service to others. And they're unsung heroes. I see these guys, and I see how agonized they get. They come across this information. They want to blow the whistle. And, you know, there's times when they come my way, I'll be honest with you, Kevin, I tell them, don't do it. Don't go public, because the minute you go public, you're going to know, you know what you're going to do is you're going to be telling me the same thing I hear from everyone like you. You're going to say, now I know how Noah felt. People are going to laugh at you, mock at you, ridicule you. And what are you going to get a thanks for that? You're going to lose your career. You're going to lose your marriage. You're going to lose your health. You're going to lose everything. You're going to take it up the kazoo because you're going to wind up being the only turkey at the turkey shoot. And you're going to be painted with a nice big target, and the drunk sons of guns that are going at you are going to be sitting there with a Mod Deuce and all the ammo they want. And that's how it works. So what I tell them is, look, don't go out and take these guys head on. What you do, though, is you go at their greatest, deepest, most secret fear. They know one day, if their conquest doesn't work right, there will be a comeuppance, all right? No different than what the Nazis had at Nuremberg. There will be a Nuremberg for these, and these are crimes against humanity. Let's not mince words here. These are crimes against humanity. People do have a right to fight for their lives.
And they have a right to get the information necessary to survive.
That's right. And they're not getting it. You know, and it's, we see time and time again, America was furious what happened with Obamacare because they saw how easy it was for special interests to come in and, you know, kick everybody under the carpet and take what the hell they wanted. And that's exactly what they did. All right? So if we're going to be practical about this, what you do is you go, you know, eventually, somewhere down the road, things, the world is round. What goes around comes around. Things catch up with you. And what they really want to do is they want to go out and neutralize anyone that could be a potential witness against them. But that's the reason why, you know, the guys with the white hats that want to go out say, don't bother. Don't bother. 99.99% of the people out there are stupid. Excuse me, I'm going to be honest. They're just stupid about this. And they're going to go, well, me, yeah, me, yeah, you, yeah. And while they're doing that, the guys that you've outed are going to be plowing you and your future under the ground. So document everything. Keep detailed records. And just play the game. And when the time comes, you go tell it like it is. And then you're going to be in service to humanity. And that's what I tell them. And if any of them out there listening, that's what I'm telling you now. Document, observe, but do not come forward. There's not enough time to come forward anyway. And the ones that tried doing it, you know, Robert Harrington, as far as I'm concerned, he was murdered. He didn't die all of a sudden of esophageal cancer. You know, this happened after he came back from doing an observation of Planet X from New Zealand. Now, Harrington was the chief astronomer over at the Naval Observatory in Washington. He had published a paper on Planet X, and he went down there. And what we actually did was we backtracked his paper, looked at it, and even with the telescope he took down there, there was this brief window of opportunity, assuming he had a good, clear sky. It's important. He had to have a good, clear sky from about 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the morning. And he might very well have observed the object. And it was after this that all of a sudden he came down with a sudden case of cancer, died very quickly, and then an anonymously written obituary said he was deeply disappointed in his Planet X work. And I'll tell you, when that happened, all discussion of us being in a binary star system stopped. You know, Carl Sagan, the famous astronomer, he wrote a book.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was an advocate of us being in a binary system, or that there was this large comet out there that was a massively big thing. But there was an awful lot of talk at that time. I even remember as a in school, and there was a lot of chatter about something called Nemesis,
yes,
Sun's dark twin. All of this, all of that, stopped when Harrington died. All of it. And it was just like a simple message to everybody. You want to live? Shut up. And that's exactly what they did. And so this is a topic that, you know, there are those that they want to make sure their position is really good. You go to that movie 2012. Yeah, and I will tell you, I feel the same way. You know how I thought about the movie 2012 the first time I watched it was I just said, you know, this is about as much fun as if I were a proctologist sitting through a screening of me and my big fat hemorrhoid. And that's how much fun the movie was for me, okay?
Okay, listen, we have a break coming up, and we'll pick up right there when we come back, if we're able to come back. We may, in fact, be attacked again by enemies of freedom, but that's okay. We're going to survive it all. We'll be back, hopefully, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my guest, Marshall Masters, and I assume he is still with us. Marshall, what I'd like to do is go ahead and open up the telephone lines and allow our audience to join us. Because of the disturbance, we've taken up some of their time, the disturbance in the broadcast. That took up some of their time that they normally get to call in and talk with us. Folks, the telephone numbers are as follows. Worldwide, you can reach us at 623-444-5889. In the United States and Canada, if you need to call me on a toll-free number, you can. It is 888-223-4599. And if you're outside of the USA and Canada, you can call our main number, or you can use the flash message feature on the website. To the telephone. Marshall, are you still with me?
You betcha.
All right. To the telephone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Colin, and I'm calling from New York.
Okay, Colin, let me get you to speak directly into your phone. We can barely hear you.
All right, how's that? Is that better?
Well, a little bit.
Yeah, I got the volume up all the way, too.
Okay.
So. I wanted to call basically because I was really disappointed tonight. I've been trying to connect for almost 90 minutes, and I've been persistent with the phone call. Figure, you know, eventually the phone line's going to open up, and I missed everything this gentleman has to say, and you know, there's been, I know...
How are you trying to listen?
I listen over the internet all the time.
Where?
And, I'm sorry?
What site?
Off your site, and then I, this time, I had to go to the indie radio, and then that was freezing up, and then I went to the SMN site, and, when I refreshed it on that, it started playing, and then it would only go, and it stopped.
Well, we have been attacked tonight by people who, I don't know if it's government or who they are, but they took our entire system down a few minutes ago. However, it's very interesting. If you listen to it on replay, you know, and click on listen to latest show when that goes up.
I always do that too, mm-hmm. because I work hours where I can't always listen at night, and I love that service. Even, you know, I love it. I think you're one of the most gracious people in that way, you know, that you allow us to, you know, take part in the show. And I'm so disappointed at this point tonight because I stayed up especially because I wanted to listen.
When you listen to the latest show and you hear us come back from break and you'll hear me say, Marshall's not there, everything's down, we're disconnected from the Internet, everything was dead. What you'll hear in the background is, and you'll hear me comment on it, and I turn the volume up so you can hear it, the people that had our phone tapped, you can hear it.
Their activity in the background.
Yeah. Yeah, they're stupid. Morons. They must have got these guys right out of high school.
Maybe they're just being overt about it at that point. They're just saying, you know, they're thumbing the noses at you at that point.
Yeah, well, you know, they just need to get some cojones and come look me in the eye, and they can kiss my rear.
Right, I agree with you. I'm sorry, Marshall. What were you going to say?
I'd like to comment on that. Colin touched on something, and this is a point that a lot of people miss about dealing with the elites, is that they want you to talk about them. It's not that they don't want you to talk about them. They want you to talk about them. They want you to talk about their power, what they can do, how they can disrupt your life, how they can affect you. Because the more you talk about them, the more angry you become, then the more frustrated you become, the more
right.
impotent and helpless you
but
feel.
You know,
and that is all part of what they're doing. So if you don't give them that satisfaction,
yes.
you just keep on doing what you're doing. You keep on tracking, all right?
Right.
You treat them as being irrelevant to you, that's when you win, but not when you're sitting there and you know, giving them backhanded attaboys for their antics.
I'd like to say one thing in compliance, exact agreement with that, is that, you know, you get these, for instance, this since the terror attack, we have these color gradients of how alert we should be, and they still use them to this day, and it's so many years later, and it's like, and in my daily experience, as I've listened in lectures, and I've seen in my life, and as I go about my life, I see that, like, I run into decent people, very good people that are cutting out a decent existence, doing whatever they have to do for a living. And I don't run into this terrorist being that we're supposed to be so on high alert for. And so the majority of our experience is this decent experience, this human experience where we're trying to get away from these baser emotions and all this hate and stuff, and just try and celebrate our differences rather than, you know, be intolerant of them. And I just feel like that's the key, is like, you know, when you go out into the world every day and you just live within your heart, and you know, and you let it fall where you may around you. I mean, it just seems inactive, though, because all I hear from, like, an Alex Jones show, all I hear from, like, these mainstream or lamestream media is I'm supposed to be fearful of this, I'm supposed to be fearful of that, yet in my everyday experience, it doesn't touch me in that significant of a way. And I'm not saying that all these issues are nothing. That's certainly not the point. But I'm saying that we're supposed to be on high alert sometimes about, like, things that are not, you know, it just seems irrelevant sometimes, the thing.
Well, it's like it's manufactured fear. Colin, I want to thank you for your call. Go ahead, Marshall.
You know, I'm really excited about this conversation you just had with Colin, all right? Because this was, you know, I wanted to talk about, we've been talking about these, I call them the 3D cockroaches, okay? Because they're like cockroaches. They do their best work at dark.
Yes.
Know? And you can't kill them all, and they've been here before us, and they'll be here after us, blah, blah, blah. But the 3Ds is that they defame, they distract, they destroy. That's how they do what they do. But what I heard from Colin, two things, and where, you know, he really is saying, hey, these guys are not relevant to my life. That is correct. But the second thing was how to go about doing this. And earlier I was talking about, you know, confrontation is not the way to go at this thing. It is with what is going to happen. As we research this and get into the depth of it, is that this is going to tax us emotionally and spiritually and mentally in ways we could not imagine, and we will be into catastrophic events, and what you bring into that event is what's going to be amplified. And if you come into that event in a state of fear, that fear is going to be amplified. If you are coming in a state of love and service to others, and I'm not talking about standing up in the pews and going la-di-da, that to me is politics. I'm talking about pure spiritual love is you gathering the kids around you and you're saying, okay, let's all hold hands, let's sing, it's going to be okay, we're all together. The kids know it's probably going to hit the fan, but that's what they need, and you make them feel better, and who knows, you might get through it, but it's that state of love for each other, that we're helping each other, that we're fighting for each other, that we care for each other. And this is not, you know, this is not Pollyannish woo-woo. I mean, I listen to the spiritualists who go, you know, you could manifest this if you think about it long enough. I'm going to give me a break. This is a freaking rock, and it's going to come, and it's going to come, period. Okay? Don't give me this manifestation nonsense. But on the other hand, it is the state in which you come into this is going to drive it. And so if you are pulling together with yours and your own, and you're in a state of love for those that you're going to survive with, you will significantly increase your chances. And if you're going to go out there and charge the guns, you want to go up against Blackwater because they're going to be out there throwing people on cattle cars to have them executed, guess what? You're not going to do so good because these guys got all the heavy firepower.
All right, let's go back to the phone and caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hello, Kevin.
Hello, hello there, Marshall. It's great to see you guys here on the other side of the flyby.
Hey!
You know
we
that
show
line,
up once
you?
In a while?
You know that line, don't you, on the other side of the flyby?
What's on your mind, Kevin?
Yeah, that's what I always say. You betcha.
Yeah, my good friend Doug down in Owen Sound, he sent me the Colburn Bible on audio CD. It was a very, 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 very good production. I really, really, really like it. I misplaced it somewhere. I have to listen to that again. But I want to tell you a story about some astronomers at the professor of astronomer here at Nipissing University here in North Bay, Ontario. My coworker, she just graduated from astronomy, and her astronomy professor, he took every single one of the students aside and told them that although I'm not allowed to teach you this in class, he's not allowed. He tells some of his students aside that our star system is definitely, without any shadow of a doubt, a binary system. That there is a brown dwarf star at the farthest edges of our solar system, and that it's come mm-hmm. around every few thousand years, and it does cause some certain things. And I wanted to make that point out to you, that there are some there are some people in academia that are spreading the truth out there. You know, these things exist, but they're not allowed to teach it. And and the global elite know that there's something coming. You just got to use logic with all the preparations they've been making, the underground bases, the cities, the continuity of government, the seed banks everywhere. They're obviously getting ready for something, and I think this is it. And I also think that if a lot of people would take your research and also the research of other luminaries such as Graham Hancock and others, and actually put your research in his to put the puzzle pieces together, not only do I think we find the true history of mankind and where we come from, but I think also where we're going, where we're also helping us of where to go and how to survive to get through the other side of the flyby in 2013.
You know, you are in the zone, man. You are 5x5 and in the zone. I really like hearing this. Kevin and Colin, both. I mean, I am just, as a researcher, I'm sitting here, my jaw's hitting the table, because I hear two call-ins, and you're right on the money, both of you. And it's like, you have no idea of how difficult it is for me as a researcher to convey the same message as you and the last caller are conveying. I am just, thank you. You made my day.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the call. Interesting information. We have some flash messages to get to. We've got John in the United Kingdom. Why are there so many programs on television on survival or something similar? If 2012 is bunk or just paranoia, why would they have all those programs? Why make a big deal on how they build and how they built and cooked in the Middle Ages? That's one of them. And we've got some more, but we have a break coming up. And so what we're going to do is hold up on the other flash messages that have come in, and we'll get to those on the other side of this break. The telephone number on the other side of the break, it'll be active, 623-444-5889, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Marshall Masters. And during the break, you may have heard me on the microphone. I apologize for that. It was simply because doing what I'm doing with the stuff that's going on right now is kind of like flying a 747 without hydraulics to keep us up and running. But anyway, I have asked Marshall if he would be willing to stay with us an extra 10 minutes, and that way those of you who wanted to call in will get to call in, you know, we got a lot of our time eaten up by the disruption of service, but you'll be able to call in and talk with him. All right, let's go to the telephone and caller. You are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
Hi. Yeah, just like, you know, I got, you know, opinion on, like, the last callers and what he's been talking about. Because, like, they got it seems like, you know, they say they got to inform us, of everything they're doing, you know, whether it's in the movies or whatever. I mean, they had a movie about a plane crashing into buildings before 9/11 to, you know, subconsciously allow us to perceive that possibility and lessen the shock value of it. And I would think on the same side, that, you know, like remote viewing, once we hit enough people hit a critical mass, you know, and like that one network movie, you know, we're mad as hell and we ain't going to take it anymore, and enough people subconsciously say no, you know, this ain't going to happen no more. You know, I think that whatever they are doing will be a moot point from there on out. You know, and we actually will shut them down, and we'll be ready for change.
All right, Marshall, what do you think about it?
Well, I don't see the need to challenge them directly, because we're looking at natural events that are going to overshadow everything. You don't, you know, the elites and all of their minions and all their machinations. Terry, this is just something that's part of the threat posture you have to deal with, all right? And you have to stay focused in your own zone of control. You have five zones of control. First zone of control is within your own personal reach. Second is within your encampment. third is going to be the perimeter outside your encampment, and fourth is going to be long-range observation, fifth is electronic. Those are your five zones of control. And that's all you really want to focus on. You want to go through it. As far as it goes for these guys, look, once things start to cook, all their best laid plans are going to start hitting the skids. You can build a bunker 2 miles underground. That's great. Well, when the lithosphere takes a twist, they're not going to do so well. A lot of those underground bunkers will be crushed. So who comes out of it? And then the people are going to be profoundly changed by it. So you stick with your five zones of control and who you're going to get this through, or who's going to be with you when you go through this, because it's going to be absolutely vital. And when you're doing it, there are going to be times that tax your soul. I mean, people say, how bad's it going to get? Well, I can tell you how bad it's going to get. You could very well live to see cannibalism. That's how bad it can get. And how are you going to get through things when it's that way? Well, it's going to be your spiritual strength. If you follow fear, always remember this. Everyone remember this. And if you only remember one thing, fear is the knife's edge of death. Follow your fears and you will inevitably stumble upon a blade. You must approach this with deliberate calm. You gotta be frosty. You gotta be focused. You gotta be in the moment. You just take life one step at a time, and when it comes and at the end of the day and the sun goes down, if you're still alive, by golly, it's been a good day. The next day will start when you wake up the next morning, assuming you do. But otherwise, you take it. Cool. The rest of it, the elites, their minions, their machinations, it's in terms of this cataclysm that is going to happen, it's just one ring in a three-ring circus.
All right. We've got time, I think, to get this flash message in. And let me say, folks, what we'll do is we'll go through the normal ending of the show for our affiliate stations, and then we will come back, okay? And, well, okay, we'll go ahead and take this call, and then we'll do the flash messages when we come back. Caller, you'll have to be quick, but your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Mark from Ohio.
Hi, Mark.
Marshall, I wanted to tell you about a guy named John R. Moore. Have you heard of him?
Doesn't ring a bell, sorry.
John is a retired Special Forces guy, and I think he's the first insider to speak out. He describes coming abrupt weather changes and cataclysms, and he claims that he's gotten a map from a retired submarine commander that shows what the U.S. will look like in the very near future. So I don't have a lot of time now, but you might want to go out on YouTube and do a search for John R. Moore and listen to what he has to say. And Kevin, he'd be a good guy to get on the show.
All right. Thanks for the call.
He's got a big multi-part video. Now I remember him. Yeah. And so he was quoting Jim McKinney. Yeah, there's an awful lot of good information in there. What I will tell you is that if you want to know where all the guys that are, you know, the high-ranking officers in the Navy, they're all retiring to northwest corner of Arkansas. And I know, because one of my moderators lives up in that neck of the woods, and he says north of him, it's you know, it's a Navy town. What are they doing there? You know, you'd think that being Navy, they'd want to be in San Diego and the such. No, that's not where. That's where they're going. Look what's happening with NASA in Florida. They're packing up the whole kit and caboodle and moving them to Denver. So, you know, big changes are coming. All of these changes are coming. You guys, you know, I'm really glad to hear this. I mean, this is, the audience is getting with it. Kevin, I want to congratulate your audience. I mean, one of the reasons why earlier when we were talking about it and you're going, you know, why aren't you doing so much radio, is I really got tired of folks just, you know, the cognitive dissonance. And yet these few callers that you've had, they're nailing it. They're nailing it.
Well, it's generally the case, really. I mean, you've noticed something, and you're right on. It is generally the case that the audience for this show are really switched on, really tuned in. And I think I want to compliment them for that. But I think also we don't have so many of the kind of folks that you're talking about because of the fact that I sort of say things that they take as an insult. I call them mushrooms and intellectual mudsuckers and things like that, and so they disappear. And so what's left are people who think. And so we really do have quite a thinking audience, and that's a good thing. Now, we're rolling up towards the end, the regularly scheduled end of this show. And we've got to go through the close of the show and everything just like we always do because we have to do that for our affiliate stations. Any of the affiliates that want to stay with us, please feel free to do so. We're going to go over after the close of the show, we're going to come back on with about another 10 minutes to let people have the opportunity to call and talk with Marshall Masters if they so desire. So let me ask this caller, are you willing to hang on till we get back?
You betcha. This is Dave in Pahrump.
All right, Dave, you hang on. We got to go through the close of the show, and then when we come back from the close of the show, we'll open it back up and allow people to call in. All right. I don't know what just happened, but it just happened. There we go. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want, just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.